Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome into Send It In here on the BetQL Network. I am Kate Constable. One more day of me is all you have. And then PJ Glasser is back joining you tomorrow. You've made it to the end of the week and a half without PJ, but he'll be back. I'm happy to be here with you today, though. We are going to continue previewing some college football. Biggest games of week one. What are they? We're going to talk about those, and we're going to talk about those with Caroline Fenton of Yahoo Sports and SiriusXM. She's going to join us in just a couple seconds. We're also going to wrap up our NFC West preview with the Seattle Seahawks. What can we expect from Geno Smith and new head coach Mike McDonald out in Seattle this year? I'm going to give you my pick five. That's going to be a segment we do today. My favorite NFL award futures. I've got some of those lined up for you. Matt Horner is going to join us for Model Making Money, and we'll end things with our best bets. As always, the show is called Send It In, so we want you to send in your questions. We want to hear from you, your comments, questions, best bets, anything. Put it in the chat. If you have any questions for Caroline when she joins us, throw those in the chat as well, and we will get those answered as we go along. As always, you can also catch us anything you missed from the show. You can catch everything in podcast form on the Send It In podcasts, available wherever you get your podcasts. All right, here we go. Glass is in session, and we're going to the Glasser guest line. Joining us now is Caroline Fenton. You can find her on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. She's from Yahoo Sports and SiriusXM, and just launched a brand new podcast just this morning. She's the host of the College Football Power Hour podcast over at Yahoo Sports. So a lot of really exciting stuff for Caroline going right now. But Caroline, talking about, first of all, thank you for joining us, talking about our favorite games in week one of college football. We've got a ton of big ones. Is there anyone that you in particular that you have your eye on?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me. It's my favorite time of year because it feels like this time in the college football season, everybody thinks that they have everyone figured out. This is the good teams. These are the bad teams. This is who's going to the college football playoff. And then Florida State loses to Georgia Tech in week zero. And it's like, whoa, everything we thought we knew, throw it all out the window. One game that I'm really excited about this weekend is Notre Dame, Texas A&M. And there's so many layers to this game, right? Mike Elko takes over as the head coach first year at Texas A&M. He was the former head coach at Duke. Riley Leonard comes in as the starting quarterback at Notre Dame. Riley Leonard transfers in from where? From Duke. So I think this is going to be a really interesting dynamic between Mike Elko, a defensive-minded head coach, with all of the familiarity in the world with an opposing quarterback. He knows what he likes, knows what he doesn't like, knows what his tendencies are. Texas A&M is now currently a 3-point favorite. Frankly, I'm kind of surprised to see Texas A&M as the favorite with how much momentum Notre Dame has going into this season. Marcus Freeman in his third season, Riley Leonard, one of the top transfer portal quarterbacks coming back in, but it's at Kyle Field. And if anybody knows anything about Kyle Field, it is loud, it is wild, it's different, and it's going to be a pretty menacing environment for Notre Dame. I'm not going to touch the spread here. Honestly, I'm going to take the over in this game. I think Notre Dame is poised to have a really talented defense with a secondary kind of spearheaded by Benjamin Morrison, a second-year cornerback. And I think that Texas A&M is going to take a little bit of time to figure things out offensively, but I think their defense is going to come out and is going to be really aggressive at the lines of scrimmage. So I'm going to take the under in this game. I'm also really looking forward to Florida-Miami. This just feels like a game that we should get every single year, right? Like bitter rivals that goes back so many decades ago. I'm intrigued by this game because I think Miami's probably getting a little bit too much love, and I think Florida's probably not getting enough. I look at Cam Ward. He comes into Miami. I'm excited to see how this offensive coaching staff kind of tries to translate their offense. Okay, because the offense that they ran last season, yeah, they threw the ball a lot, but what Cam Ward thrives in best is really pass-happy kind of offenses. So I'm excited to see kind of what that offense looks like with Cam Ward, a Washington State transfer. And I look at Florida, and I think everyone's counting Florida out because of their schedule. And look, Florida has the hardest schedule I've ever seen in the history of college football, and that is not hyperbole in the slightest. But I look at Graham Mertz, who led the SEC in completion percentage last season. It wasn't Jackson Dart. It wasn't Carson Beck. It wasn't the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels. No, it was Graham Mertz who led the SEC in completion percentage. I don't think he's getting enough credit for just how well he orchestrated that offense last season. So I think this is going to be a lot closer than a lot of people anticipate. So those are the two games that are headlining my week one viewership this upcoming weekend.
I mean, you talk about the A&M game being played at Kyle Field and that being a tough environment. I mean, talk about playing at the Swamp. That's never easy for any team to go into the Swamp and play there. You also touched on some transfer quarterbacks. Well, one team that doesn't have a whole lot of transfers is Clemson, because Dabo Swinney refuses to go into the portal for a lot of his players. Going up against Georgia, does Clemson have any shot at winning this game outright?
So I said this on the College Football Power Hour podcast on Yahoo Sports. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. I said, I think Georgia's going to win this game by 40. That's maybe a little bit dramatic, but that just kind of shows exactly how I feel like this game is going to play out. Georgia lost a lot, whether it was to the NFL with their star quarterback, tight end Brock Bowers leaving for the NFL. They lose Ra-Ra Thomas. He's no longer with the team. But if there's anything that I think Georgia deserves when players leave, it's the benefit of the doubt, because Kirby Smart over the last several seasons has shown that when they lose players, they're able to just reload. Carson Beck comes back in his second year as the starter. I think how Mike Bobo, Georgia offensive coordinator, brought Carson Beck along last year was a masterclass in how you develop young and inexperienced quarterbacks. He kept the playbook small early on. It was dinks and dunks and passes of 4, 5, 6 yards here and there. And then the playbook went wide open. I look at that Georgia-Kentucky game last season, and that's when Carson Beck was starting to make some of those 50-50 throws. It was a lot more risky, taking calculated risks with the football, taking shots downfield. And Carson Beck really kind of blossomed as a passer in the second half of last season. I only expect that to continue this season. And I look at Clemson. Kate Klubnik, I don't think, has played his best football. We're going to see better football from him this season. I don't expect any sort of coming out party against one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in college football. So I think I would take Georgia minus 13.5. If you can take an alternate spread, but Georgia more than 2 touchdowns, frankly, I would take it. I think that this Georgia team is going to be able to roll. It's a tough schedule. I wouldn't be surprised to see Georgia drop a game or two just because it really is a difficult schedule. It's right up there with Florida's difficulty of schedule, but I think that Georgia is able to roll in this one. I don't believe in Dabo's approach to not touching the transfer portal and not really investing into NIL.
I'm glad to hear you say you're on Georgia minus the 13.5, because I just bet that earlier this morning. So on the same page there. In terms of the SEC, I mean, Georgia is the favorite to win, but we have Texas, we have Oklahoma, some new faces in the SEC this year. Is there anyone other than Georgia or an Alabama, maybe someone a little bit further down the board, that you think has an actual opportunity to win this conference?
I think the one team that I would look at, I guess two, I'll give you two teams that could potentially make a run in the SEC. It's Ole Miss and it's Missouri. Ole Miss, I think, loaded up. I mean, an absolute haul in the transfer portal this past season. They get Logan Diggs out of the transfer portal, a running back from LSU. They lose Quinshon Judkins, but replace him with Logan Diggs. They add Juice Wells to their receiving core, one of South Carolina's best pass catchers over the last two seasons. Lane Kiffin highlighted what they really needed to do in order to compete with the Alabamas and the Georgias of the SEC. So we need to be better at the lines of scrimmage. We need to be bigger and more aggressive on the defensive front. So what did he do? Went out and got the best defensive player in college football in Walter Nolan from Texas A&M. He adds Princely Umamiyelen, a fantastic pass rusher from Florida. So I feel like Lane Kiffin very smartly identified the shortcomings on his roster. It didn't just address them, but address them to a really high talent level in the transfer portal. And Ole Miss doesn't have the craziest gauntlet of a schedule, and neither does Missouri. If you look at Missouri's schedule, there's no easy schedule in the SEC, but if you want to call it an easy schedule, frankly, I think that's really, really fair. Brady Cook had a fantastic season last year, and yes, they lose running back Cody Schrader. He's now in the NFL, but I think Luther Burden is one of the best, if not the best wide receivers in all of college football. Missouri brings back four or five, maybe even six of their top pass catchers from last season. So combined with the talent level and the schedules, the favorable schedules, I think that Ole Miss and Missouri could be some sneaky picks.
Speaking of Ole Miss and Jackson Dart, any favorite that you have to win the Heisman this year? Jackson Dart, I believe, is sitting around 14-1 and has the third or fourth shortest odds on the board.
Good value there on Jackson Dart. I think that's definitely worth sprinkling a little bit of money on. But frankly, my favorite is got to be Carson Beck. He's going to be the quarterback on what I think is the best team in all of college football. He did a really good job of taking care of the football last season. So Carson Beck, the quarterback at Georgia, would be my current favorite right now. I also think that Jalen Milroe is worth taking a look at. There's a lot of change at Alabama. Obviously, they lose Nick Saban. He retired this past offseason. Kalen DeBoer comes in. And Kalen DeBoer has proven to be a winner anywhere he goes. Now look at the development of Michael Penix Jr. last season under the tutelage of Kalen DeBoer. I mean, Michael Penix Jr. went from a guy that I don't think anybody really knew to being a Heisman finalist. And Jalen Milroe has a very similar skill set to Michael Penix Jr. So I think that we can see now that Jalen Milroe is in his second year as a starter and he's going to be kind of groomed by Kalen DeBoer, we can see Jalen Milroe take leaps and bounds forward. And as they start to figure out who their offensive weapons are going to be, Jalen Milroe is going to have to carry a majority of the offensive load. And we saw Jaden Daniels do that last season at LSU. That's what really pushed him to be the Heisman frontrunner.
Well, Caroline, if week zero is any indication of what we're in for in week one and going forward in college football, it's going to be a very fun season. So we appreciate you joining us, and we will certainly be talking to you again very soon.
Chaos. Give me all of the chaos. I'm so here for it, and I appreciate y'all for all your time.
She is Caroline Fenton. You can find her on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. You can also find her on Yahoo Sports. She's the host of the College Football Power Hour over there. And you can hear her on SiriusXM talking college sports. All right, moving on to the NFL. Time for Gridiron Glass. And we're continuing our NFC West season previews with the last team in the division that we haven't touched on, and that's the Seattle Seahawks. This is an interesting team this year because you have a new head coach in Mike McDonald coming over from the Ravens last season. And I think he's going to be a really good coach in the NFL. But in his first season, what's that going to look like? The biggest thing here is that he's replacing Pete Carroll, who had built that culture in Seattle over the last couple of decades and had really been, you know, the tone setter. Even after Russell Wilson left, like the Seahawks were good because Pete Carroll was a very good head coach. So when you lose someone of that caliber that's been with the organization so long, I kind of have question marks going into the next season of what's this going to look like under a new head coach and now a first year head coach. The Seahawks, even in a kind of a down year last year, they went 9-8. But Mike McDonald, what he's done at his previous stops is, you know, year one, kind of start to develop that culture, develop the defense, which he is a defensive-minded coach, having been the defensive coordinator for the Ravens past couple seasons. But week one or year one is kind of getting his feet wet, getting the players used to his system, and then things, you know, blast off in year two. And that's kind of what I expect for the Seahawks right now. Additions, they drafted arguably the best defensive tackle in the draft in Byron Murphy out of Texas. They added linebackers Jerome Baker and Tyrell Dodson. Dodson graded out as PFF's fifth best coverage linebacker last season. So that defensive side of the ball should be a lot better, and it has to be a lot better, considering that the Seahawks finished 28th in DVOA on defense. They finished 29th in EPA per play allowed. So the defense struggled big time last year. So it's good that Mike McDonald, a defensive-minded head coach, is going to be taking over and hopefully bolstering that defense. Now, if we look at their schedule, it starts off fairly easy. You know, they get two, I'm not going to say gimmies, nothing's a gimme in the NFL, but you start your season with two games against rookie quarterbacks with Bo Nix coming to town with the Broncos, and then you go to the Patriots. I guess we shouldn't say rookie quite yet, but depending on who's starting that game, Jacoby Brissett, it could be Drake May. Things get tricky in the middle of the season. Weeks, let's say 3 to 11, that's when things kind of get real tough. You host Miami week 3, and then, I mean, the big chunk of the middle of the season is tough, but if you narrow that down even more, weeks 4 through 6 are crazy. You have three games in 11 days. You go to Detroit to play the Lions on Monday Night Football. You come home, you host the Giants. That should be a winnable game. And then you also host the 49ers, who have won the division the past couple of years, who have made it to the Super Bowl or NFC Championship game. I mean, that team is loaded, and that's a Thursday Night Football game, so that's going to be a tough one. But three games in 11 days, teams that are playing in that scenario, those three games in 11 days are just 3-6 against the spread. And then if you look at Thursday Night Football games, rookie head coaches in their first Thursday Night Football games are just 5-18 against the spread, winning just 17% of the time. So that 4-6 week is just, or stretch, is just absolutely brutal. Seahawks would be very lucky. They should come away 1-2 in that stretch. But going from week 4 to week 12, there's maybe one win there, because you are at the Falcons after that Thursday Night Football game. You play the Bills, you play the Rams. Their bye comes at a good time, week 10, to have the bye there. But then again, week 11, you're back at the 49ers. The last couple of weeks, the last 7 weeks of the season, you at the Jets, at the Cardinals, maybe you win one of those. I'm thinking the Cardinals is probably the one there. And then you have the Packers, you have the Vikings, you have the Bears, so you have the NFC North kind of towards the back end of your schedule. And that right there tells me that the NFL doesn't really think that the Seahawks are going to be competing for a division, because they would want those big division games stacked towards the end of the season just to add the drama and the effect there. Also, that Week 17 game at Chicago, that's a Thursday Night Football game. So you're on a short week. You're crossing a couple different time zones, and you're going into weather. I mean, Chicago in December, let me tell you, from someone who lives here right now, it's not pretty. So that's going to be just a tough stretch of games. And then you finish things out in Los Angeles playing the Rams, another division opponent. So I think it's going to be a tough season for the Seattle Seahawks. Their win total is set at 7.5. I lean towards the under. I kind of feel like that number is fairly sharp, but I lean more so towards the under just in this new season of Mike McDonald. If the Seahawks were to exceed, or if you're someone that believes they're going to exceed their win total, exceed expectations, then Mike McDonald for coach of the year is actually a really decent look. I'm just not among the camp that the Seahawks are going to have enough success for him to be in the conversation late in the year. The props that I like for the Seahawks this year, or the futures, is Geno Smith's passing yards. He finished last year 3,450. Or no, I'm sorry. That's what his passing yards prop is right now. And 21 and a half passing touchdowns. He came close to surpassing this last year. I think with another year with Jackson Smith and Jigma, DK Metcalf, the weapons he has on the outside, I think he's able to get over this. Plus, I believe he only played in 15 games last season and still nearly made it over this mark. So the passing yards is something that I would look at. But in terms of winning the division, winning the NFC, Super Bowl, nothing like that. Save your money. And their win total, again, not something I'm really interested in betting on. So I'm going to stay off of that one as well. But I think in year two of the Mike McDonald era, that's where I'm going to be kind of all over the Seahawks. So I think they're just a year early for me at this point. All right, moving on to Kate's pick 5, our NFL awards. My MVP this season, It's going to be Jalen Hurts. You can get him at 10-1. He's sitting behind Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and CJ Stroud. If we look at previous MVP winners, 11 straight and 16 of the last 17 MVPs have been quarterbacks. So hence taking Jalen Hurts, a quarterback here. And those teams have averaged 13 wins per season. I think that the Eagles have a very favorable schedule this year, and they can win a lot of games. I think they're going to be in the running for the division winner. I actually like them to win the NFC East, seeing as no team in the NFC East has repeated as division winner over the last 20 years, and the Cowboys won the division last year. So I like the Eagles to win this year. I think we get a fresh look with offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. He should bring a little bit more up-tempo offense, what he did in back with the Chargers. They've had a very up-tempo, high-octane offense that I think he can bring to Philly. You also have a few question marks on the offensive line. No more Jason Kelce at center. But I almost think that actually helps Hurts' case. They're going to have to rely on the passing game a little bit more if Saquon Barkley isn't able to hit those gaps or that offensive line isn't going to be able to find room for him. Plus, you have a stacked wide receiving room. A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Jahan Dotson just traded over. But overall, I think the Eagles are going to position themselves to win that division and win a ton of games. And therefore, at 10-1, I like Jalen Hurts. All right, offensive player of the year, Bijan Robinson. I like him at 20-1. He finished last season with just under 1,000 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns. And Arthur Smith didn't use him a whole lot last year. There's been talks out of training camp this year that Raheem Morris wants to use him and make him a focal point of this offense, way more so than he was used last year. Especially you have Kirk Cousins, a new quarterback coming off an injury. Maybe they start the season being more run heavy and leaning on Bijan Robinson while Kirk kind of gets back into game flow and all of that jazz. So I think Bijan Robinson, you're getting some great value. He's not at the top of the board here. You have your Christian McCaffreys, you have your Tyreek Hills, but for the value, I really like Bijan Robinson. Defensive player of the year. I'm going to go a little bit further down the board. I like Josh Hines Allen, the newly named Josh Hines Allen. He had 17 and a half sacks last year. He made his second Pro Bowl. He had got a new contract this offseason, making him the highest paid outside linebacker in the league. And he talked a lot in the offseason that, I mean, he's still extremely motivated. Just because he finished with 17 and a half sacks and had a great season last year doesn't mean he's slowing down. He also talked about how Eric Armstead is coming over, and he's been, you know, a veteran in the NFL. So Josh Allen's kind of looking to lean on him as his veteran leadership going forward and how he can help kind of bolster that defense. So you look at the past couple winners, Myles Garrett last year, 14 sacks, Bosa the year before, 18 and a half. Josh Hines Allen, if he can repeat the season he had last year, I think at 30-1, he's certainly worth a sprinkle there on defensive player of the year. Coach of the year, Shane Steichen. He's at 15-1. He's behind Harbaugh, Eberflus, McDonald, LaFleur, Morris. So he's a little bit further down the board. He took the Colts from 4-12 team in 2022 to a 9-18 in 23. And that's even without Anthony Richardson back. So with Richardson back, I think this team can compete in the division with the Texans. And I actually like them to win the division. If that's the case, Steichen's going to be in the conversation late in the season. He has that reputation as the quarterback whisperer. I think he can put that to the test this year. And if Richardson turns out to be a top quarterback or one of the top, I don't know, maybe 10 quarterbacks in this league, I think Steichen's name is going to be talked about quite a bit. He's had success in his previous stops with Jalen Hurts, developing him, developing Justin Herbert. I think he's going to do the same with Richardson. And at 15-1, I like Steichen. Lastly, this might be a little bit of a homer pick, but Caleb Williams, plus 130. There's really not a whole lot of value here at all, but I like Caleb Williams to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I know the expectations are extremely high, and I should caveat that I am a Bears fan, so my expectations for the Bears are high, and I love what I've been seeing from Caleb Williams in the preseason. Quarterbacks won this award 3 of the last 5 years. Caleb Williams is set up perfectly. He has all the weapons. You know, his receiving room is fantastic, and his passing yards is set at 3,500 and the hook. If he's able to get to that mark, I think there's no way he doesn't win this award. So maybe a little bit of a homer pick, but I like Caleb Williams, Offensive Rookie of the Year. All right, moving on to model making money. We've got Matt Horner, and I can see Matt Horner behind the scenes waiting to come on, and he's laughing at me because he knows I am a Chicago homer a little bit. So taking Caleb Williams, Offensive Player of the Year, I'm sure Matt has plenty to say about that. But Matt, what are our BetQL 5-star plays for today?
Yeah, so the BetQL model is going with the New York Yankees minus 1.5. Well, they're facing Patrick Corbin, so really not a very difficult bet to handicap there. We all know Patrick Corbin, one of the worst starters in the league. He's lost more games over the past 3 years than any other starter in baseball, and the Yankees, their offense is very, very good. The model projects this as a final score of 6-3.5 on average over the simulation. So, yeah, fading Patrick Corbin, usually a very good and profitable thing. So that's what we're going to do with the BetQL model.
We love fading Patrick Corbin. That's always a great thing to do. Matt, yes. What's your best bet for today?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the New York Mets tonight. Their first five money line, around minus 112 or so. Sean Manaea is on the mound for them tonight. If you look at his advanced stats, you'd think he was a regression candidate. And earlier in the season, I would quite agree with you. But lately, he's been really good. He has a 2.60 ERA, but more importantly, he has a 3.07 expected FIP. His command has drastically improved over the last month, and it's because he has quit on his cutter, which he's gone used his percentage down to just 0.2%. Since he's cut that out, his walks have gone down tremendously. 37 strikeouts over the last month, just 7 walks. He's gotten a lot better. The Diamondbacks are great against left-handers, but I like him more than the other side, which we got Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound for the Diamondbacks tonight. He came back from an injury, which he's been out for most of the season. He's pitched 16 innings so far this year. His last two starts, he's been good, but that was against the Miami Marlins and the Colorado Rockies offense, which, you know, to be kind to them, they're terrible, and that's being kind. Now he gets to face the New York Mets offense, which is a lot better against lefties. They're the second best team in baseball against left-handers with a 118 WRC+. And I think this is a huge step up in competition for him to face. So give me the Mets here tonight at a reasonable price, around minus 112 or so in the first five innings. Going to ignore the bullpen and everything and just take the Mets in the first five innings.
Love it, Matt. We just previewed the Seattle Seahawks. Any thoughts on Geno Smith and company going over 7.5 wins this year?
Yeah, I don't really care much for it. I don't really have a play one way or the other. I haven't bet this win total. Some places it's at 8.5, so I guess some steam has come in on the 7.5 over. But either way, I'm not a particular fan of this team. The schedule is kind of tough, especially you were saying in the middle there. The Rams are the team in this division that I would look for much more than the Seahawks. 7.5 is about right where I'd sit them, so I don't really have an opinion one way or the other, honestly.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't see a whole lot of value on the win total either way. But I do like the Rams in the division this year. I think they're going to be feisty. Yeah. He is Matt Horner. Matt, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. We'll talk to you later this week.
No problem. Thanks, Kate.
All right, moving on to our best bets for today. We're going to start things off by going streaking. We've had a good streak going this past couple of weeks, and we're going to continue that tonight with the one and only Shohei Ohtani. He went hitless yesterday, and that means, I mean, we have to back him in some way, shape, or form. I'm actually just going to bet Ohtani to have a home run tonight, because in his last five games of going hitless, Shohei Ohtani has bounced back with a home run in two of those games and a triple in one of the other of those games. So he doesn't take kindly to hitless games. I think he's going to at least get a hit tonight, but I'm also going to sprinkle a little home run prop. All right, for my prop lock, I'm going to go Colt Keith of the Detroit Tigers to go over 1.5 total bases against the Angels tonight. He's also riding a good hit streak, 8-game hit streak. He's finished with at least 2 hits in 6 of those 8 games and had at least 2 hits in 3 straight games, 4 of his last 5. The guy's been on fire lately. He's facing Johnny Cueto, who only has 1 start this season, just returned, and he hasn't faced Cueto at all yet in his career, but in Cueto's last outing, he gave up 8 hits and 3 earned runs. So I'm going to back Colt Keith tonight to go over 1.5 total bases. Dog of the day. There weren't a ton of dogs that I really liked or felt strongly about, but I do kind of like the Giants on the money line tonight against the Brewers. You can get that about even money, maybe even minus 105. So not a massive dog, but Logan Webb, he's pitching for the Giants, and he's coming off a really bad outing against the Sox. He was solid before that, so I think this is a great bounce back spot for him. He's won outside of that loss. He won 4 previous starts, with 3 of those being quality starts. So I like Logan Webb to bounce back with a decent game tonight. Sean, what is your best bet for today?
Yeah, Kate, I'm going to the Yankees and Nationals game. I'm going to go DJ LeMahieu over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBI going up against Patrick Corbin. Naturally, happy Patrick Corbin Day to everyone out there. In 56 at-bats, he has 22 hits and 6 home runs. So I think he will have another good day today against Patrick Corbin, who is terrible.
Patrick Corbin has been terrible this year. I think they've only won 3 of his starts all season long. And that's, yeah, when Patrick Corbin's on the mound, you just look towards the other team, pick a few players to get a hit, maybe homer, maybe over 1.5 total bases, and you're good to go. For my best bet today, I'm going to go over to the W only one game, Aces and Wings. I'm going to take the Aces -9.5. This line has moved up a little bit from where it opened at 8.5, but I think the Aces are the right side because the Wings defense is just terrible. They rank in the bottom of the league in several categories, and the Aces really have not looked all that great since coming out of that Olympic break. It's taken them a little time to get going. They did just get a win over the Chicago Sky, but that was a buzzer beater by Asia Wilson. So they've struggled so far. I think they break out of those struggles here. They turn it up a notch. They play fast, and they just get after this Wings defense that's just been terrible all season long. So I like the Aces to get the win tonight, -9.5 to cover, not just to get the win, to cover the -9.5. I also like the over. I think it's sitting at around 180.5. That's another thing that I like in this game. Also, Dallas is just 2-10 against the spread in their last 12 games. So they have not been great at covering whatsoever. So just to recap here, going streaking, we have Shohei Ohtani, prop lock. I have Colt Keith over 1.5 total bases. Dog of the day is the Giants on the money line. Sean's best bet is DJ LeMahieu over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. And my best bet, I like the Las Vegas Aces -9.5 against the Dallas Wings. That's going to do it for us here on Send It In. Thanks for joining me all week long. Your trusty host, PJ Glasser, will be back with you tomorrow. Have a great day. Hope you win some bets. We'll talk to you then.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.